I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. Tonight, it's host only. Got a couple people on the DL, got a couple people with some tired vocal cords and some uncooperative sinuses. And if my tongue does not fail me again, we should be able to get through this with but two. That is your host, Spencer Hall. Hi, that's me. And on the other end of this here microphone and headset, I got Jason Kirk in beautiful Kennesaw, Georgia. Say hello, Jason.
Hey, what's happening? I'm here on the Internet's Only College Football Podcast to discuss the Internet's Only College Football team. That would be the Ohio State Buckeyes, the only team that matters each and every year. Somehow, through it all, they've only played, I think, like 1.5 games, roughly. But still, hell or high water, they have managed to be the focal point of all conversation, all discussion, as always, as God intended.
At last. At last, Ohio State's dream comes true. Not only do we have to talk about them, we have to talk about them as the center of the universe. For going 5-0 over the course of a season. Who's done that before? Except, like, I don't know, Northwestern. That's how good they are, folks. They're almost as good and consistent as Northwestern was a couple of weeks ago.
Buddy, they've beaten Rutgers. They have beaten Nebraska. They've beaten the worst Penn State team ever. They've beaten Michigan State. They didn't play Indiana. No one saw that happen.
Murderers Row. If we're going to talk about the Bucks, they beat Michigan State. A Michigan State team that lost to Rutgers.
And they also beat Rutgers. They beat both ends of the Michigan State-Rutgers rivalry.
They beat both notable teams in the Rutgers-Michigan State game.
Yeah, so the current hollering in the sport is, as always, it's about Ohio State. It is about whether the thing we've been talking about on the show for a month, we always seem to find the really stupid storyline that we know will be a thing. And yeah, will the Big Ten mess with its rules, which it has already messed with by canceling its season and then uncanceling its season? Will it further mess with meth? What's up, Midwest? Will it further mess with... I think messing with the rules is letting Indiana play in the title game.
Which should happen.
Which should happen, by the way. Because they've played enough games.
I was rolling. Yeah, they've qualified. And two, I was rolling through all of those wins mockingly that Ohio State piled up. All five of them. Bow down to 5-win Ohio State. And I was rolling through them, and I was going to go, they beat Indiana. And I was like, but wait, that's actually really good.
Yeah,
because Indiana's pretty good.
Can't dwell on that. But I mean, yeah. Indiana beat Michigan. Ohio State was scared to play Michigan. So
that's hey, fella. As I put on my acid wash jeans and belt them with a jersey and a leather, like a custom leather Ohio State jacket that I wear, walk up in my New Balances. Hey, pal. That's as I enough put of
on,
that.
As I put on my hoodie and bike shorts.
The hoodie and bike shorts is a provocative Ohio State combo. If like, you came up to me in actual like spandex bike shorts and an Ohio State jersey, I would assume I was going to have to call the police.
I want like every Ohio State fan dressed up like 1982 weightlifter or even better, like 1982 college wrestler. Like we need big puffy sweatshirt, bike shorts, and the headgear.
And yeah, somebody
sneakers
wearing
with high top socks.
wearing a trash bag because you just came out of the sauna where you're dropping some weight. You got to make weight. I don't even have a match. I haven't wrestled for 18 years. It's just habit. I just got to make weight for September.
And the making weight is like, this means you went to Wendy's in the trash bag, right? Like, I've got to pile on good weight and get rid of the bad weight. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm just a furnace for the bad weight.
I just sweat out the bad weight with water and I put in the good weight with this Wendy's grease. It's a system.
I'm just floating in this garbage bag of my own sweat. That's how a coach said I have to.
You wanted us to talk about you. We're talking about you, Ohio State. It's glorious. I feel so bad, by the way, for Justin Fields. Justin Fields has the most cursed college career of anyone who could be considered a success. Like, there are cursed college careers where, you know, you're Josh Rosen, right, who has the dual honor of having a cursed collegiate and cursed pro career because he got yanked around in both spots. Justin Fields is a very successful quarterback, but he is also cursed because he gets a five-star offer out of high school for college. That's great. Who gave him that? He goes to Georgia. We're all set at Georgia. Nobody can compete with me. Ow! That's Jake Fromm. They'd rather take the guy who always takes the four-yard check down than me, and they don't have to teach anyone at that school how to run a hybrid offense. So I'm out. I got to transfer. Okay, that's kind of bad. Then I go to Ohio State, and I get a shot, a legit shot, where I get to run all the way through a fairly weak Big Ten schedule and get to the playoff looking spectacular, looking so fly. And then what happens? Bam! I face Clemson in the game of the year last year, the most physical game I watched all year long, and you lose. But barely. You lose, by the way. Like, I didn't come away from that game thinking Clemson was the better team. I just thought, well, they got the last possession. That's
it. And like, the anti-Buckeye refs and ESPN and Q said that the anti-Buckeye refs, but yeah, Justin feels like everyone just unanimously agrees one of the, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 best players in all of college football for 2 years in a row. And
And he's going to get, and he comes back and he's like, oh, got a big swing. This is my year. This is my year. What could possibly go wrong to interfere with the skyward trajectory of Justin Fields towards every possible postseason award, plaudit, and championship and title imaginable? A plague! A pandemic! That's what stopped Justin Fields from having one of the most impressive years in Ohio State history, because he would have mowed down the rest of the defenses in this schedule. And what stands between him and all that, after transferring, after running into a completely random bit of excellence in the form of a Clemson team, which was probably as good, just equally good, and maybe, yeah, one or two bad calls, and then he gets his season shortened by COVID. There's a lot of tragedies associated with COVID that obviously eclipse this by a factor of a billion, all right? It's just worth noting that when you go, who's had a successful but very frustrated roundabout collegiate career that only got weirder and more frustrated in the final year? It's Justin Fields. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
I wish it had been easier. I do. I really wish it had. I wish that for most everyone, but yeah, Justin Fields included.
I think if you enroll at Georgia, you know what you're in for. You know, like...
Not if you're Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm enrolled at Georgia, and he's like, easy street, baby. These people gonna love me. My name's Jake, and I hunt. Here's a four-yard check down. I'm a god.
He enrolled because what is he going to do with his spare time? Boat? Get in lake injuries, right?
Golf?
That's what Jake Fromm likes to do.
Yeah. Listen, he liked boats, he liked golfing, and he liked hunting. What man more Georgia? That's the whole sentence. What man more Georgia? No man more Georgia. Yeah.
I mean, so Jake basically, high school quarterbacks, if your goal is to win national titles, well, there's two schools you can go to. If your goal is to get lake injuries, you go to Georgia. If your goal is to rank either number 4 or number 5, Ohio State. It's pretty simple. Speaking of rankings, Ohio State is the center of controversy because the Big Ten has to decide whether to let them play in the title game or not, which means getting to play either a number 14 Northwestern or a number 16 Iowa. Massive difference there. That whether they get to play, you know, a team two spots above the other will completely decide the course of the universe. But Spencer, these rankings are bullshit. I mean, you know, that's not a new take, but
no, and I have not seen them. I came in, opened the notes. I've been like doing domestic stuff, putting kids to bed, you know, washing kids in bed, putting the bed in the shower and feeding them while in the bed in the shower, getting them ready, multitasking. And I have not had time to look at these rankings. So I will be reacting with fresh shock and awe.
Okay.
To these.
So, Coastal Carolina, our beloved beach chickens, our rowdy boys from Greater Myrtle, 7-0 against the Sun Belt, 1-0 against the Big 12. All right?
Yep. Yep.
Iowa State, 0-1 against the Sun Belt, and they have also lost within the Big 12. How many spots would you guess separate Iowa State and Coastal Carolina in the playoff rankings?
I'm going to go 6.
That's right. You have your... You have actually, let's see, 1, 2, yeah, all right, so it does work just like subtraction, but yeah, 6 spots. Iowa State moved up, which that's fine. They destroyed an okay West Virginia team. They jumped the undefeated Cincinnati Bearcats. That part's not okay. Coastal Carolina moves up for beating BYU. That's great, but the disparity between these teams, it's crazy. Iowa State has lost 2 games, including 1 to a team that Coastal Carolina beat. Georgia has, hey, it's Georgia, it's you again. They have lost 2 games, neither of them competitive, both against top 6 teams. Okay, that's cool, that's good. Compare that to Indiana, which only, it's you again, only lost 1 game to a top 6 team, and it was competitive. Georgia ranks 3 spots ahead of Indiana.
Why?
No one knows. Georgia's number 9. Based on their best win is 5-4 Auburn. And their second best win might be against Mississippi State's backups. And it wasn't, it, you know, that was a lot closer than it should have been. So, like, what we're staring at here, the New Year's Six situation, where basically this year a team's going to need to rank in the top 12 to make the spot, to make the cut for an actual really good bowl game, our beloved Hoosiers and our beloved Chanticleers.
The Shants, baby.
The Chanticleers.
I'm going to call them the Dirty Shants. The Dirty Shants.
They're both right on the cusp, number 12 and number 13. We don't want to have to pick either of these teams. We don't have to choose between our beloved children. Get Georgia out of here and let them both in. Make everyone
happy. I always think, man, Coastal needs to get in because America needs another team that can take the bulk of the population and win their loyalty. And by that, I mean the bulk of the population who didn't go to college. I don't want y'all worrying about people who are going to call you on that. I don't want you someone going, well, did you go there? So I used to do that. You know what that is? Rank snobbery. You should be able to like any team in the world that you want. All right? Any team. Except for the Italian men's national soccer team. That's a heresy and a sin, and it means you hate all things good and dislike art, beauty, and the concept of truth. But other than that, I'm in favor of you rooting for whoever you want. And I think it's important to have a team that people can just pick up because they're like, hey, you know what? I want a team that's basically the equivalent of popping a cold one and crushing it on my head. Guess who that is? Coastal Carolina. All right? Do you know who's not going to give you shit about not going to Coastal Carolina? Somebody who's rooting for Coastal Carolina. They'll be like, hey, I like both of those things, Coastal and Carolina. That sounds dope as hell.
Not so big on university though.
Did I say that part? No, we're branding them, baby. Who do you root for? Coastal Carolina. Do you want those windless, stagnant inland parts of the state? Do you want those exhausting, cardio-heavy mountains? Hell no. We don't want any of that. I want all that flat stuff so I can just coast to the ocean and back. That's what I want. That's why they call it Coastal Carolina, because you can just coast on in, baby, and root for this team.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, we fixed the rankings. Just get Georgia out of here, bump everybody else up, and then everyone is happy. Yeah, that's really the only, that's the story. We have the top 20 Raging Cajuns. That's bizarre. Let's hang on to that. Colorado and USC, this is also fun. Both undefeated, but yet in the same division in the Pac-12.
Well, therefore, sure.
They're just going to pick a winner. And
yeah. Cool. I love that. I love that, by the way. The Pac-12, at every point this season, the Pac-12 has chosen nonsense. That's been their only choice, to be fair. But they haven't even pretended to make sense. The Big Ten, they've relied on principle and trying to do things right. The Pac-12, they haven't even had a head. They've just been a headless chicken running from one option to another randomly. Larry's like, they've done nothing coherent. So if they came out and they said, by the way, our champion, despite having an undefeated Colorado, is winless Arizona State, I would say yes, that is your champion. The Pac-12 has chosen correctly and accordingly with everything you've done. Everyone else has tried to choose some kind of protocol, some kind of order, some kind of like basically semi-sensical sounding way of doing things. Hell with that, man. Pac-12 is just like, we don't know either, man. Here, someone step. You want to go? Yeah, you can go. Washington State, come on down.
I feel like the Larry Scott's looking up like, we have two good teams? What the hell? How the fuck did that happen?
I think he's looking up like, Colorado has a football team? I was not aware.
When did they? No. Where is that?
I'm sorry, I follow mostly tennis. That's my sport.
So speaking of just making shit up on the fly, can't help but note, Ohio State, number four, could really stand to shore up that number four ranking, hold off everyone else. Meanwhile, number five, Texas A&M, they were supposed to play Ole Miss. They could use a chance to play right into that number four spot. Go take it from the Buckeyes. So we could set something up here. And I've seen some of the discourse. Couldn't help but note that midpoint between College Station, Texas, Columbus, Ohio, is, of course, the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. I've seen a few people recommend that we just go ahead and have ourselves a quarterfinal in Memphis.
Let's just fight. Let's go fight in Memphis. What better place to go? Hey, you just park your car there. We'll get out. We'll settle this on the riverbank. We'll both walk away. Respect each other's masculinity. Get on out of here, having resolved our differences through the art of fisticuffsmanship.
I guess they could go play it in Ann Arbor.
A football game in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
That's, oh, you know where that leads, though. They'll watch them play, and they'll go, A&M team. They're not flashy, but, man, they're really getting it done. It's a big offensive line. Oh, that defense, they're kind of playing all over the place. I don't know. I kind of like the cut of this guy's gym. What's this? Oh, Jimbo Fisher. I'll have to look into him.
A man with two first names.
Where's he from? West Virginia? You know who else was from West Virginia? Fielding Yost! Everyone in the background goes, Fielding Yost! Because that's what you do when you say Fielding Yost. Is everybody has to say it together. Michigan, it's like Randolph Scott in Blazing Saddles. You have to sing it in unison and praise. That's what they'll do. They'll go, oh, I mean, we're in the market. And you know what Jimbo will do? Hey, listen, y'all, I will do it for $85 million guaranteed. $85 million cash, guaranteed. 10 years. And you got to buy me out at A&M. It's only $40 million. Because Michigan's got more money than God. And they'll go, he's Fielding Yost 2.0. Let's do it, y'all. Let's hit Ross for $150 million.
So I think they take one look at Jimbo's style of football and they say, this guy's boring as hell. They got to get him in here, right?
And we've tried exciting. That hasn't that didn't work.
Yeah, this is as far from Rich Rod excitement as you can get. But they also look at that first name, right? And they say, we like the idea of Jim. Jim was here, and Jim was okay for a few years. We're tired of Jim. You know who we really liked? Was Bo. We liked Bo. Bo was the guy. Jim needs to be more like Bo. We need a Jimbo.
Wow. Right,
you see the vision? Michigan, wow. Go get a Jimbo.
You know, there's one problem with this whole plan. Jimbo Fisher has won a game in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It's gonna be problematic.
He's the only Bo to have ever done that.
Yeah. I love the idea that Bo Schembechler went to the Rose Bowl every year and was just like, I can't think. There's too much sun.
Ugh, it feels good here.
Yeah. It's so comfortable.
Makes you weak.
It's just so much golf.
Yeah, it smells good.
Mountains. Eucalyptus. What is that? That's some kind of sea creature. No. Yeah. The idea that Bo Schembechler lost all of those Rose Bowls because California was too hospitable, pretty, and nice. I'm 100% buying into that theory. A&M, what were they again?
In the rankings?
Yeah.
They're five still.
Oh, man.
They looked good against Auburn, didn't they? They looked really, really impressive. Like the fifth best team in football, would you say?
They look like the fifth best team in the SEC, yeah. And I think in 2020, that's fine because if you look like the fifth best team in the SEC, that probably makes you the most consistent team in the conference. Like every week, I can look at A&M and go, yeah, you'll probably win. Not like, oh, you're really well put together. That team's going to smoke. They're just going to destroy whatever's in front of them. No. But, you know, fourth quarter rolls around, and you're like, ah, kicker's in position. The other team's not doing anything. We've ground this game down to a fine halt. Well yeah. done, Aggies.
I feel bad because, like, I don't want to pick on A&M. They didn't ask for this ranking, you know? And, like, no. If they had a more realistic record, like a 6-2 or something like that, you know, it'd probably be like, actually, you know who's really good is A&M. Like, but because of the magic line under the number 4, we're forced to say, eh, you know.
This is a, by the way, this is a way better option than if they'd actually been ranked 4. Because, you know, we'd be saying then, we'd be like, God, they're absolute trash.
What would we do if Ohio State had lost a game and the Aggies were stuck at 4 for weeks and weeks just staring down the barrel of Alabama?
It'd just be, man, that's just, you're like, this is my safety school. God, they're hanging at 4. And if nobody else sends me a letter, I'm going to have to go there. I'm not saying the fine top 25 public research university, Texas A&M, is a bad school. It's at least as good, if not better, than the one I attended. So that's fine.
I mean, it is one spot ahead in the only rankings that matter. So
that's true. That's true.
So one very, very fun subplot is Gary Barta, Iowa athletic director, is also the chair of the playoff committee, the person who has to go on ESPN and answer questions from Reese Davis each week explaining these things, which for years has basically just amounted to, they are what they are. He has, at the same time, the tasks of overseeing the group that ranks Ohio State number 4 each week, meaning it's in line for a playoff spot. Also, he's part of the group deciding whether Ohio State gets to play Northwestern in the conference title game or Iowa in the third place game. Which means Gary Barta, his incentives here, right? At the Big Ten, obviously, you want a team in the playoff. Athletic director of Iowa, you'd rather not play Ohio State, right? It went great that one time, but I think they see you coming this time. So let's not push our luck here, Hawkeyes. It's just funny that in a sport this stupid, one person is wearing two hats that conflict in this way. Great job. Just great job, everyone. Just really a simple puzzle.
I was going to say, and listen, whatever conflict and whoever Gary Barta owes things to, I'm going to go ahead and let you know Gary Barta's going to pay off. He'll pay. Gary Barta will get you paid. Because if you're on Team Barta, you're going to get that check. Gary Barta's the one who keeps writing massive checks to Kirk Ferentz. And did that no matter what was actually happening with the Iowa football team. Just kept writing them. Kept getting them, man. So if you want to talk, and by the way, if you're an Iowa fan who's going to go, hey, I'm going to defend Gary Barta. Don't. Yeah, he's fine. He gets paid millions of dollars, right, cumulatively to do this. He's good. He also has this weird sinecure of a job where he gets to decide what a good football team is, which in his position as Iowa athletic director, I might slightly question his judgment on that.
The other really fun thing about conferences being able to fiddle with their title games is the ACC has two teams in the top three. If they play each other, Notre Dame might win, in which case Clemson will miss the playoff, costing the ACC, I would say, its best shot at a national title. If Clemson beats Notre Dame badly and makes the first game look like a fluke, it's possible Notre Dame could miss the playoff, thus, again, costing the ACC a spot, putting someone else in, you know, making it so you don't have a guaranteed ACC team in the championship. ACC, is it really worth fulfilling your contractual obligations to the Dr. Pepper scholarship toss in Bank of America Stadium or wherever you have that thing now in order to risk getting two teams into the playoff, two teams in the top three? If they're going to play each other anyway, cancel the ACC title game and make it be the semifinal. This seems extremely obvious to me. Who needs a conference title game? We didn't have them until 1992. The ACC didn't have one until 2005 or whatever, right? Just get rid of it.
I do enjoy this turn toward traditionalism, because the ultimate turn toward traditionalism is what a lot of Ohio State fans just going to argue for anyway, which is this. We used to just vote it. We used to vote this before the bowl games. We'd say, oh, yeah, there's the national champion. Now go play an exhibition. That's what we used to do, and they used to just do it ignorantly. Just like, what'd you do? Well, I don't know. I went and sent some telegrams from the three games that I saw Notre Dame play. They must be the greatest team in the world. I saw them beat Michigan State 9-6. Incredible. Meanwhile, there's probably much better teams out there that never even got the kind of attention they needed in order to go out and wreck shop and win national titles, because they were playing in a very, very narrow, isolated media environment. Yeah, we're just going to do that again. We're just going to... I like how everybody suddenly like shed their modern skins, just peeled it off their face, and now we're all Grantland Rice again, right? Lo, I have observed teams, and in their five victories, the Ohio State Buckeyes have proved that they are the cat's pajamas.
In their conquest over Rutgers, which invented football.
Over the Heartland Boys from Indiana, coached by Tom Allen, the preacher's son. I don't know if Tom Allen's actually a preacher's son. That just sounds like some sort of stupid appositive that they would attach to him, right? Some clause to describe him, right? The preacher's son, the riverboat gambler, the prairie man himself.
Tom Allen might be a time traveler. If you get a good look at him, like that, he might be from the 1940s.
Tom Allen might be from like the 20s. I could see that. Could you see Tom Allen being like, yeah, that revenuer? Don't mess with him. He's killed eight bootleggers this week.
So, yeah, I think that's it. I think that's for it for rankings talk. NC State is ranked. We got to get out of here. Bail.
Oh, man.
Close that tab.
God, that'd be, if we could just vote on that, y'all. I mean, seriously, we could do that. The Wolf Pack rampaging down from the mountains. we could just go ahead and decide that was going to happen, right? You know, traded my vote for some bathtub gin.
Do you think you could confidently name three teams NC State has beaten? They have beaten eight teams.
They've beaten eight teams?
Yeah.
By the way, how long has the ACC been playing football this year?
Yeah.
they're ACC. If you told me, if you go, hey, listen, did you know that Syracuse is 24-38? I'd be like, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, NC State somehow got in basically a full season. So did Syracuse is 1-10. Syracuse played 11 games. Why?
Have you been playing midnight snack games in the middle of the week while we weren't looking? Have you scheduled, like, did you play Galatasaray? Did you go down and play, like, Bimbo FC out of La Liga? Is that what happened? Because, did you play other sports is what I'm asking. Because, again, we're rolling this back. You look at old schedules and you see, like, NC State versus Woodward Men's Academy. What? or just like a town. Like they played Tilden. What was Tilden? They're like, yeah, it was a squad team from like Tilden, Georgia. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, I think NC State's padding the schedule here.
Boston,
I know they beat
College. Take a tour through Canada?
did you play the Red Blacks? Is that a thing that happened? Did you refer to them in all caps? Because the red blacks actually make you write out red blacks when you write about them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I know they beat Syracuse, and I know that NC State, they beat Wake. Am I right on that?
That's usually a good guess, and yes, correct.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember those two distinctly, believe it or not. I do remember those two. Everything else is just a cookout-scented blur.
Yep. I will preserve the mystery for you. I will refuse to reveal.
Thank you. I don't think, if you're like, wow, I really wish I'd listened to this podcast and figured out who NC State beat. That's what the internet's for. We don't have to talk about that.
No one needs to know.
Yeah. Also, by the way, in the playoff rankings, good luck, y'all, because Barry Alvarez is going to be out here. Barry Alvarez is going to be shaking them trees. Barry Alvarez is going to be calling people, wheeling, dealing. Barry Alvarez is going to buy some Omaha steaks for some people. He's going to be out here just selling the hell out of the Big Ten.
To get 2-2 Wisconsin into something.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one of my favorite spectacles coming up this week. It is, I believe, an underrated rivalry that the quality thereof doesn't really vary. I like it because this rivalry game seems detached from the rest of reality. The two teams coming in could have opposite records. One could be 9-1. The other one could be 1-9. And the records truly do reset. And I believe the results of this game over the years completely validate this, particularly particularly when it comes to one Arizona State coming in with a good record. Yeah, that's the Territorial Cup. Is it more intense than everyone knows? Hell yes, it is. Especially in Tucson. The stands get weird. Get really weird. A couple of years ago when Iowa played there, man, you know who doesn't get along with Arizona fans? Iowa fans. These are people who have nothing in common. It is on a Friday, and it is in mid-December at this point. Coming up on mid-December.
Oh, so those Arizona Decembers.
If I sold you on Herm, a very confused Herm Edwards.
We must be in the playoffs.
I'm not saying that because he's old. I'm saying that because it's Herm Edwards coaching in the middle of a pandemic with a team that I believe has played 5 games?
Arizona has played 4. They are 0-4. Arizona State has played 2 games. They are 0-2.
Yeah.
If Arizona loses, this will be their first winless season ever. ASU has pulled off far worse before, so no worries for our Sun Devils if they merely go 0-3. They've been through much worse than that.
A desperate game between two fan bases that actually genuinely despise each other in some of the strangest settings in college football with absolutely nothing to lose and nothing to win. That's perfection. That is absolute perfection, y'all.
It is really bizarre to still be having rivalry weekend. Like, the whole sport pivots around Thanksgiving, right? When we have, in some years, we have Ohio State playing Michigan. You know, we have the Iron Bowl, Egg Bowl. But, like, this shit is just scattered all over the place. And now it's happening during Army-Navy. Like, Army-Navy is happening in a regular weekend, which I like that because we will, the television viewer at home, choosing between games will be will quickly discover how much they actually like watching Army Navy when it turns out they have other options. No pun intended, of course, because all the options are in that place. But yeah, everything's still a big mess. Still a big. Let's see what's going on during
actual. I was going to say actual sentence. An 0-2 Arizona State enters this game, trying to get its first win in December to go to 1-2. With Coach Herm Edwards. Oh, man.
Competing against Army Navy is just watch Army Navy. You'll be fine. No
just
worries.
Just watch Army Navy. The game that 4 years ago the president elect attended and said, you know, it's really not the best football. That's when you knew it's gonna be heat. He showed up, everyone's like, "Yay!" And immediately goes to the booth. He's like, "This ain't shit."
Yeah, soldiers suck at sports.
They're not. It's not their. It's not their thing. You're not the biggest or the strongest. You know what? I think it's time for a little bit of business.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, a little bit of podcast business. Podcast business. What's a business? Podcast business. It's a business in the desert. Arizona fraud. I don't know what Arizona fraud is, other than my new line of men's clothing coming out.
Arizona fraud.
Jason, let's pay some bills so we can commit some Arizona fraud.
If you would like to accumulate financial gains without Arizona fraud,
whoa.
Wink, wink. Acorns is the country's leading saving and investing app. You don't have to be rich to start investing. Thank goodness for that. You can save and invest in the background of life. It'll skim a few pennies off your purchases, put them in the magic portal. You can also set up a few bucks each week to go into the magic portal. And every single time, maybe not necessarily every single time, every other time you look at your magic portal, you'll have more dollars and cents in there than you did the previous time. Investors who have been locked in and glued to my investment performance know that we have grown our pile from 2 cents to 46 cents. If that were to grow at an exponential rate, that'd be roughly $1 trillion at some point in the future. Past performance does not guarantee your future results, of course, but $1 trillion available for you at acorns.com/fullcast to claim your $5 bonus when you sign up. And sooner or later, it'll be $1 trillion. I mean, eventually. It's just going to happen.
You know what? Just like getting aboard the Lane train, this is a process, and the process is the goal, not the destination. So this week, I think I'm gonna put a little money down. I think I'm gonna plant some seeds.
Yeah.
See if we can get a tree, get some acorns, shake them out.
You can get started in just under 5 minutes. You can also you can set the kids up with the savings account Acorns Early. You can set up retirement. You can get you a heavy metal debit card. It's got all sorts of fixins to it. Or you can just go with the $1 trillion plan. Acorns.com/fullcast.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. That's absolutely beautiful. We got a couple other things while we're doing some plugs here. I would like to go ahead and plug again, Thinking Out Loud, the television show, or as I call it, a Zoom call on TV because it's a pandemic. And we're all in different studios. We have two shows left on our beautiful tour this fall. That is Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the SEC Network. Myself, fellow Moon Crew member Richard Johnson, Georgia great Brandon Boykin, and Alyssa Lang, who's just, man, like, impressive as hell. If you see the person who is running the show and also providing commentary and putting everything together, there's pretty much like two people in the business. There's like Alyssa Lang and Ernie Johnson. That's it. And I will tell you this, you know, Ernie Johnson, sure, he's got to put up with Shaq. Alyssa's got to put up with me. So just weigh those two things together. I think she's got as difficult a challenge, but does it both times. Go ahead. If you're a Nielsen household, let me know. I'll bribe you with a muffin. I will mail you a muffin. I'll put it in the United States Postal Service. If you'll do that, hit record series. You don't even have to watch it. You should watch it. I didn't say that.
I'm trying to picture you and Shaq, like a host trying to wrangle you and Shaq at the same time.
I know what to do with Shaq, which is just let him... like, literally let him throw you around. I would just do the Jackass thing. You know how, like, Shaq used to jump on Wee Man's back in Jackass, even though Wee Man was, like, 3 feet tall? I would just do that. I would just attack him because Shaq would be like, ha-ha, physically superior.
Yeah.
You just throw me around. I've met Chuck, and Chuck is a lot. Chuck's cool as hell, but Chuck is, like, literally, like, a huge toddler. Like, you kind of have to pull him out of things. You have to say, please, don't put your finger in that socket, Chuck. I want to put my finger in the socket.
And then you kind of want to let him, right, when he says it?
Yeah, yeah. And he'll look to, like, the authority figures in the room, like the PR people who are there to observe you and go, hey, I'm going to put my finger in this light socket over here. Y'all going to stop me or not, huh? I guess you don't love me. Just let me do this.
But does he hit you with conflict? But if you did love me, you'd let me do what I want to do.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put my finger in the light socket. I might, though. And then he'll just do the show. Other things to plug besides Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network, 7 p.m. Eastern, Mondays. A couple of other things. I did a great podcast with Bomani, because Bomani only does great podcasts. And that's obviously why he had me on. We talked about Diego Armando Maradona. That's on The Right Time, available on all of your Spotify's. It was great. I'm just plugging it because I just thought it was cool. We got to talk about Diego Armando Maradona, and like a truly titanic sports figure with an equally titanic cocaine problem. In other words, my favorite things all combined into one story. And then finally, she is off tonight due to a shot voice. But Holly's been working on a very cool project that she wanted to plug, which is Ground Game Georgia. That's at Ground Game Pod on Twitter. If you want to follow along, the website is groundgamepod.com. It is the podcast devoted to compelling first-person stories from inside on-the-ground organizations here in this Georgia Senate runoff. In case you didn't know, the road to American democracy runs right down I-75. It's going to stop at the King Frog Outlet in Valdosta. It's going to go through the Reading Capitol of Tifton, Georgia. It's going to make a stop by the Warner Robins Air Museum.
They got a Buc-ee's. They got a Buc-ee's, Warner Robins.
They do. They do. They got a Buc-ee's now. So democracy, probably going to get some beaver nuggets. Maybe a little pick-me-up, some coffee, and a chopped beef barbecue sandwich, a little brisket on the
pick up a deer stand and a pork sandwich, and we need some overalls. And
democracy's gonna spend way too much money at a gas station is what we're saying, which is I think the essence of democracy itself. Ground Game Pod is Holly Anderson and Marcus Ellsworth, both superb people with incredible podcast voices. If they are listening to this, I've listened to the first episode already. It is compelling and focuses on the people who are really trying to turn the tide, electorally speaking, and change the way we do things here in Georgia. You won't hear that anywhere else. So go listen to it. Ground Game Pod, Ground Game Georgia, an amazing collection of stories. You got anything else, Jason, before we move on with the rest of the show?
Let me go ahead and plug a pod as well. The Vacation Bible School podcast. With myself and my wife, Emily, who once burned down an apartment building because she wanted to heat McDonald's at 2 a.m. We are taking a break from our journey through the Hebrew Bible. We're going to do New Testament, a little bit of New Testament. We'll get a little Jesus. We're going to do a Christmas episode. It'd be up around at some point after this one. But yeah, anybody who's been hesitant to dive into the old stuff, we're going to talk about the beautiful baby. Also, Home Field Apparel, the shirt company with the world's most comfortable and snuggly collegiate apparel. Also, Moon Crew and Moon Crew Adjacent Apparel, available on the website homefieldapparel.com. An important note from our friends at Home Field. On the holiday season, COVID-19 has brought supply chain disruptions and increased online shopping, which means overwhelmed shipping services. In order to ensure a timely delivery, we recommend that you place your order as soon as possible. If you're hoping to receive your items on or before December 24th, please place your order no later than December 10th. This episode is posting on December 9th, so that means go ahead and hustle to get your North Dakota State and Wofford and Colorado School of Mines.
Oh man, and I gotta put a huge order in tomorrow. Like I'm thinking, I gotta buy like I'm pretty much gonna do that for everybody I can't get to. It's just send them some like home field gear. That means up to and including sending my mom the Zap shirt for
Zot.
I'm sorry, the Zot shirt.
Zot.
Zot.
Zot. Zot. Zot. Zot. Zot.
I'll have to send him that because I believe that's UC Santa Cruz. Is that? No, I got it wrong.
The one's the Anteaters and one's the Banana Slugs.
Yeah, no, UC Santa, I will get this correct. But yeah, I need to send like a ton of home field gear to people. So I got to do it tomorrow, y'all. You should do the same. We got a promo code for the good people at home field who are currently not sleeping and surviving on candy gifted to them by No Escalators.
Promo code FULLCAST if you have not yet placed an order, which I assume most of you have. But if you have not, it is time to go hard for Christmas. You see Santa Cruz, you see Santa Barbara, more like you see Santa, because it's
That's
you.
Correct.
You're Santa. You're the one dropping off the big bag of sweatshirts.
Yeah.
Clogging up the chimney with big puffy sweatshirts.
Just zot all the way down that chimney.
Cram the whole chimney full of big Midwestern sweatshirts. It's good for the insulation. We're letting out cold air through this chimney.
I say this. Home field does things so well. They had an Alabama shirt that I almost ordered. I figured it was too much culturally for me to put on and rep an Alabama shirt. It's too much to explain. It's too much for me to carry. And I didn't want to steal valor from everybody who bravely soldiered through the Mike DeBose years. But still, that's how good they are. Considered getting an Alabama shirt. So yeah, homefieldapparel.com. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful people. All from the great heartland of Indiana.
I believe that's the end of business.
That is the end of business. I got one more game I want to mention, which is this. Late night Saturday. I mean, I know we got LSU Florida, you know, which like, I don't know, man. I want to believe that we're going to shred an extremely dysfunctional team that cannot play pass coverage. But being the pessimist that I am, I will believe it when I see it.
Let's see. You are favored by... I forget this one for some reason. I think it's like 20 points.
Seems grim.
No pressure. Have fun that.
Seems very, very grim. I don't know. They can't play pass defense. They've been awful. Everybody at LSU is arguing with everybody. I don't even know who's talking to each other. Like, after the season, we're going to read some post script, some sort of post-mortem on them from somebody who just does nothing but writes down all the gossip that all the coaches wanted to talk about each other the entire season. And we're going to find out some insane stuff like, yeah, man, Ed was only speaking to everybody in Latin. He was that angry. He reverted to the tongue of the ancient Lord. That's what he was speaking.
Bo Pelini might just record himself saying all that. We might not even need a reporter to write it down.
Bo might go live on the US stream. I feel like Bo Pelini would go live on US stream. He's not going to do it on a contemporary platform. No, he's going to like old school Joe Rogan and be like, yeah, I'm on the US stream. I'm just going to talk. I'm going to let y'all know the truth about what was happening.
Bo Pelini on Justin.tv.
Yeah, Carl Pelini holding the flashlight as a light. Okay.
Bo Pelini on lockers with a Z, airing everybody out.
You're like, this runs on Flash. I can't even hear you.
Bo Pelini, go on Homestar Runner.
I don't really know what on earth is happening. That just looks like a team run by a bunch of people who are arguing with each other, and the players are just kind of lost. That's not any inside information on my part. It's just based on seeing teams. Because the players are trying. There are players out there putting in good effort. There's players putting in bad effort. But there are players out there who really care and who are trying really, really hard. None of them know where to go. And apparently none of the people in charge know where to put them. That's what I see.
Sure.
And I see a Florida team that can pass the ball. That seems to be a recipe for continued disaster. But again, as pessimistic and as panicked as I can be about Florida, I'm just going to believe it when I see it. There is a much more compelling game to me, and that would be Purdue, Indiana, because it's a Buckethead special, y'all. Who loves the bucket? You love the bucket.
We're going to win that bucket.
Yeah, we. Indiana, because this is, of course, an Indiana Hoosiers football podcast now, and we love each other. We love you. I love Jason. We love everybody, right? We're a special team. We're a special team.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's it with our father, Tom Allen. That's all we do. Just hug each other. Just love on each other. I feel like that's what they do in Indiana practice. Like you know the thing where it's not just love each other, it's love on each other. That's the Indiana difference.
It is. It's the cuddles have made them fierce. You know, hey, You know what other animals like to cuddle and then go out and kill? Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Bears, they're very, very affectionate. And then they go out, rip someone's hide off. It's pretty... What better describes the Indiana Hoosier experience? Monday through Saturday, cuddles, weight training, and sleep. It's very bear-like. Then they just go out and you know, they just eat a Girl Scout camp on Saturday. That's what they do.
And wow. On Sunday, I thought you were going to say Girl Scout cookies, but no.
No, Girl Scouts. They just go raid like a...
Wow, you know, okay.
They just crash like Camp Philmont. Eat a bunch of Boy Scouts, right? Uh-huh. Nature red and tooth and claw, but I didn't think it would be me.
Purdue, I would advise you to avoid this football game.
Why is nature red and tooth and claw, by the way? Because they wear Indiana red. See?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also from the blood and the screaming.
Yeah, also the red and white candy stripes. It's very like evil clown vibe. So
yeah,
the evil clown bears are here to cuddle you.
Yeah, Pennywise the bear is here for you.
Aw,
I know, it's adorable. Yeah, this is by the way the game also where you're going to see this a lot more on Twitter, which is why are we paying Brome this much money? I've seen that pile up with Purdue fans. As the season has worn on, which I don't know, there's people I feel like making real demands of in terms of producing in any year in college football. Ryan Day is currently at the helm of Ohio State football, a roster as stacked as any, not just in college football, but really in the contemporary history of the game, right up there in terms of sheer talent. I feel like you shouldn't screw it up. I feel like you should probably be more than competitive in every single game. I don't know if I feel like I can make those same demands of the coach of the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, I mean, 2018 season, which was the year that established Brohm as a genius, which we kind of suspected at the time. Rondale Moore probably has a whole lot to do with that. 2019, Rondale plays 3 full games. This year, he has also played 3 full games. So that's a little bit of a factory adjustment for you there. This is not necessarily a good sign for next year when Rondale Moore plays 0 games for Brohm's Boilermakers. But still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 2-3 in the Big Ten. Not, you know, 2-3 period. Not really. Not I think what they wanted. But you know what I'm also going to go with? Y'all. I don't know what you expected, you know, Purdue to be in like what is obviously going to be a year where your roster depth is going to be more than tested, where you're going to miss a bunch of practices, and where you're not really going to be able to solve a lot of the problems that a football team has to solve when you are playing as Purdue and not Clemson or Ohio State. So, yeah, it's kind of what I'm thinking. You're probably going to get your ass whipped by Indiana. That doesn't even feel weird to say anymore. That's how I know we're in a different spot, man.
Yeah, well, it's Purdue.
It is. No! It's Jeff Brohm. It's a different day.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Also in the notes, you have listed Fresno State, New Mexico, as I believe the last item before mailbag.
I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you're a gambler... and you value action over results, you might want to invest in a Fresno State game.
Yeah,
just do it.
I do not have this on the board. This is beyond even me. I do have I am going with UNLV plus 21.5 against Hawaii. That's my most disgusting selection of the week.
I was going to say, if you have that bet, I don't know if you can judge me telling people to look at this.
That's a lot of points is the thing.
I think you're just looking across the brothel going, well, that's weird, but look what I'm doing.
Sure. I'm saying we all have our things. It's fine. We're all getting through it. However,
don't look at me. I'm hideous.
Don't look at me. It's 21. That's a key number, and we're getting the extra half point. So the Rebels, all here right. We go.
Yeah. Fresno State, turnover happy. inconsistent, kind of occasionally explosive in multiple directions. If you told me, wow, Fresno State scored a touchdown across the field, you mean like not toward the end zone? No, they scored one on the sideline.
They tunneled.
They tunneled. Wow, okay. Yeah, they did it. The Fresno State-Nevada game this past weekend, what a blast. It was very entertaining. If I was a Fresno State fan, I might have jumped off a very tall building watching it. But for me, it was really exciting. So I encourage you, take a peek at Fresno State, New Mexico, if you've got indigestion and can't sleep on Saturday night, or if you're just a degenerate looking to do degenerate things. This is the midweek episode. We're going to go ahead and do the one listener mailbag. By that, we mean we just pick one question. We ask everybody, we pick the finest one. And I will tell you, there is a trick for getting us to pick this. Some of you might have figured it out. I will tell you, many have not, in terms of what we won't answer. But Primordial Goo on Twitter, if you want to follow that handle, it goes by the name Bryce, but it's at Primordial Goo. Superb name. Ask us one that we had to take. What ancient civilizations would develop into competitive P5 programs? Strong.
Can I strike one right off the top?
Yeah, take them out.
The Mongols. Fearsome, mighty mm-hmm. empire. One of the most horrifying things in the history of Earth. But where's the recruiting base? Where's the recruiting territory, right? It's mm-hmm. like, you know, not only is it desolate, it's you know, people far, far, far apart. They're also always on the move. It's like if Nebraska changed conferences or something. That would be horrible, right? Like Nebraska abandoned Texas and just started trying to recruit, like, Wisconsin and Ohio. Be terrible. It would just fall apart. It wouldn't last, you know, like Genghis Khan's empire.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of think of them as, you know, like, I do really think of them as like Nebraska, right? I think that's a great comparison because, yeah, the scariest thing I've ever seen. Where'd they go?
Some say they're still out there on the prairies.
I mean, I say this as somebody who watched the 1995 Nebraska Huskers take my team apart like a cheap chicken, okay? Like, yeah, scariest football team I've ever seen.
Also, like Genghis Khan, they say most people on Earth, you can trace their genes back to Herbie Husker.
Literally, their genes. The jeans that Herbie Husker wears, they're yours.
Give me back my blue jeans.
My extremely blue jeans. My ironed blue jeans. Yeah, take that one off the board. Okay? Completely, like, just take it. I think that I'm going to have to say that as a power program, I'm going to go the Qin Dynasty. The Qin Dynasty. You know why? They had a recruiting area, and they built the wall around it. Just like Howard Schembechler at Miami, the Qin Dynasty, under Qin Shi Huang, unified the empire, dominated its territory, created their own culture. We talk about culture. You want to know, you know, you say, oh man, you know, that Coastal Carolina program, they got great culture. Coaches love to talk about culture, right? Nick Saban, that man has created a great culture. Dabo Swinney, you know who doesn't have shit on Qin Shi Huang? Dabo Swinney, because you know what? Did Qin unify a bureaucracy? Did Qin strike as far south as Hanoi? No, he only recruits down to Miami. That's as far as Dabo goes. Qin's across the whole continent. Qin Shi Huang, definitely a magnetic personality, an outstanding recruiter. Because really, what's a better way to recruit somebody than by force?
Also, Qin, the guy who had all the books burned and all the scholars buried. Why? Because he ain't come here to play school.
No. Hey, facilities?
Top facilities? Notch.
Top notch. Not only did he build the wall, you seen You seen that terracotta army? You seen
that's the scout team.
That's a scout team. Come on,
that
man.
It really is like when they walk you through the facility and they're like, look at all these jerseys we got. This could be you, stud, right?
Uh-huh.
And they show you the 30 uniform combinations. 30? How about 10,000?
Yeah. And also, by the way, you know what else he built? Roads. You want to know why? Got to knock on doors. Got to go mm-hmm. talk to some mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's totally, and by the way, like all great builders, really believed that he was going to live forever and was obsessed with acquiring immortality. That's, and believed that there was an elixir of life that he could maintain, which, as we all know, that's exactly what Bear Bryant tried with RC Cola. That is correct.
It
so,
worked for a while.
It worked, yeah. It really did. Golden Flake
recommend,
chips.
I'm going to recommend the Aztecs.
Okay.
Because if you want to survive in college football, got to be a little ruthless. Got to be a little cutthroat. Maybe literally. Maybe cut a throat. Maybe cut a chest. Maybe pull a heart out. Maybe slaughter a person on top of the football facility. Kick their body bouncing down the side of the stadium. Sacrifice to the sun god. It's got to be warm outside. If you're going to practice, can't be cold. If you're gonna come here, you're gonna endure our humid temperatures, right? We need that home field advantage. So yeah, hey, Northern kids, come on down and play in the sun. Like, oh shit, now we gotta get the sun come up. We better sacrifice some folks. So, and yeah, I don't know what better defines college football than just cranking through folks. Yeah, a coach left, next one up, right?
That's an interesting pick because they're I think they're pretty much comparable to a 70s program or an 80s program that was really dominant that later had trouble because their nutrition program really wasn't all that. It's all corn. You can't be a monoculture is what I'm saying and hope to sustain greatness.
Yeah. Well, it is sometimes theorized that the Aztecs did this because, like, they didn't have cows. They needed protein. They needed meat, right? And
yeah.
So there you go. That's a strength program.
Yeah, there you go. They just needed to work on that. I think if we're looking at empires, I've already got the chin in here. Is it cheating? All right. If I just say, I think Rome would be pretty good. I mean, just stretching. I know. Just a guess.
Stretching.
I think it'd be okay.
Stretching all the way east and west.
Yeah. I think that'd be pretty good. I just think they had a good record. Call me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They were kind of the Oklahoma, right? Where it's just like, yeah, we just win 11 games a year forever.
Yeah. Also, do you do something cool? Okay, we'll do that now.
Yeah, that's
now
our
that's
thing,
our thing. Yeah, that's cool. What else do you do? You know, you can just be one of us. We'll just keep, you know, just keep absorbing whatever you do, and keep evolving. Actually, you know what? That's definitely Oklahoma, isn't it? Oh my god! Hey, you guys have a cool offense. We're gonna do that. You have a cool defense. Yeah, we're gonna do that too.
Oh, you got a cool religion, huh? Okay, yeah, that's ours now.
Yeah, yeah. That's fine.
We got a guy who wears a big hat, big old. It'd be a cowboy hat in Oklahoma, but big old hat now.
Collection of powerful and problematic Caesars. Yep, got those. You know where I'm going with this, by the way. That this makes Julius Caesar Barry Switzer, which that's only because you're like, well, who'd get stabbed?
Well, Julius that, Caesar, and also, but, like, how do you make his name? By, like, swaggering around and kicking ass and talking a lot of shit about it, right? Like, he went up and, like, beat the shit out of the Gauls and, like, wrote back about how awesome he was. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, this dude talks a lot of shit. He's very cool. We should put him in charge of everything.
This dude's the other. He wants to wear, like, weird robes. Like, oh, that's Barry Switzer. Sure.
And who was the Brute who pulled the Etu? That's right, Jerry Jones.
That's Jerry Jones, who, by the way, one of the conspirators, you know, like, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap him in with Mark Antony. If you were like, yeah, I don't know where he went. He's off with some weird Egyptian lady. Well, that could be Jerry Jones, too.
I would like to strike the Babylonians because Hammurabi writing down laws. We don't do laws. This is college football, nerd. Trying to get everybody in trouble. That's the NCAA. Babylon's the NCAA. Get that shit out of here.